Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Greetings, my beloved brethren, in the precious name of our Lord. As today marks the final day of our sharing for this week, I think it's necessary to extend my appreciation to each and every one of you for your participation and also your commitment spiritually. I also want to thank Brother Andrew Peary, who through the grace of God had organized this uplifting forum, and also deeply appreciate Brother Paul for his diligent effort in minuting all these messages shared here, making them easy and also accessible for our daily reflection and edification. I pray that the Lord may bless each and every one of you for your labor of love in the name of Jesus. Before we approach the word, I'd like us to commit this moment into the hands of God in prayers. Our dear Lord, we acknowledge you this day, and we ask for your grace as we navigate the pages of this Holy Scripture. We know that we have received this book as an inspiration from you, dear Lord, and we expected, O Lord, to live every pages of this book, not by mimicking the characters in them, rather by receiving and yielding to the same Spirit which led them to achieve their testimonies. Help us, O Lord, to believe and to become all you have instructed us in these holy pages. May the words of our mouths and the conditions of our hearts be right before you this moment. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So I will be taking our text from Matthew chapter 16, from verse 13 to 19. It reads, "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. He said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood had not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Permit me to suggest that Peter had no clue of what Jesus meant when he made those declarations. Maybe he was just excited of being correct or validated by Jesus. Perhaps he thought that Jesus was rewarding him for giving a correct answer to his question. Yes, so he never really grasped the understanding, because Jesus has said, "There are many things I would have told you, but you cannot bear them now. But albeit when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you to all truth." And of course, when the Holy Ghost came upon him, it all started making sense. And he was able to write in his epistle, one of his epistles is said in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 1 to 4 to 5. I'll read both from King James and another translation. Here he says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." I'll read verse 3 from another translation. Translation for translators says in verse 3, "Also, you know to do this because you have experienced that the Lord acts in a good way towards you." Verse 4, he said, "You have come to the Lord Jesus. He is like an important stone, put in the foundation of a building, but he is alive, not lifeless like a stone. He was rejected by many people, but God chose him and considers him to be very precious. So we know that, of course, the stone here that Jesus was referring to, Peter came to tell us that that stone was Christ Jesus. He is the important stone. He's the chief cornerstone. Paul said that no other foundation can be laid than that which has been laid, which is Christ Jesus. The psalmist says that in Psalms chapter 18, verse 31, that there is no God save our Lord, and there is no rock save our God, our Lord. So he is the rock, he is a stone. And Anna, during his prayer in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 2, say that there is no rock like our God. So he is the rock. The revelation of Jesus Christ is the stone upon which the church is built. But here we also notice that Jesus said, Peter, Simon, Jonah, you are Peter. And we can see Peter also repeating that in 1 Peter chapter 2, now verse 5. He said, he also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and an holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So, though the church is built upon Jesus Christ, but also the church is built also by stones, which are lively stones. So today, when we mention the life and experiences of Peter, it should resonate very well with us, because we are Peter. That is, not Simon Peter, but lively stones. We are rocks. And that's why Paul could say in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that we are God's building. You know, when God desired a house, a sanctuary, in Exodus chapter 25 verse 8, and requested that Moses will erect one, but was not satisfied, even though the glory of God came upon such that literal and physical sanctuary. Then came also another one. David came and desired to erect a house, a building for the Lord, and God said, don't worry, your son is going to take up the tax in your stead. And Solomon came, felt he should be that son, and of course literally was a son, and he erected the building of God. But God still said, where is the house, where is the place of my rest? That building, though wonderful, though God's ark was on it and the glory of God dwelt on it, yet did not meet the specification of Abraham when he said that he was looking for a city, a house, that a building that had foundation, that whose builder is God. So God wanted to build his own building. That is why David caught a clue of it and told his son Solomon via a letter, saying that, yes, I know you are the one that is to build for the Lord, but note that except God himself will build the house, any man that labors in vain. And except he will watch over the city, they that are awake, they are awake in vain. So God wanted to build his house, and he only appointed one to do that. That is why it was an important period and message when Peter confessed, saying that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So Jesus sought that opportunity. He knew that this could have only been a revelation from the Father. And he said, And upon this revelation, I, the Son of God, will build the house of the Lord. However, you are Peter, I'm going to use these lively stones also to build upon that rock. So the devil knew that Peter was a representation of the church and was willing to frustrate and to have him deviate from the purpose for which he was called to. So we thank the Lord that even though he tried, yet Jesus had placed Peter in the hands of the Father. And in John chapter 10, verse 27 to 30, Jesus made us understand that all that the Father had given, said no one can pluck them out of his hands. And no one can pluck them out of the hands of the Father. Amen. So he is the one that can keep us from falling. And even when Jesus was giving his account of all that God has given to him back to the Father, he said that all that you have given to me, none of them is lost except the son of perdition, who is irredeemable. But including Peter, none of them is lost. So when Jesus was telling Peter, Simon, Peter, the devil has sought to have you. He has desired you that he may sift you as wheat. He said, but I have prayed for you. So the prayer of Jesus had restored Peter even before the fall. He said, I have prayed for you so that your faith will not fail. And Jesus, he concluded the destiny of Peter even before the act. And that was why he told Peter, he didn't say if you are converted, he said, but when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Because he was sure that though Peter would fall to the trick of the enemy, yet he was always available to lift him up. And he signified that earlier by Peter coming to meet him when he was walking on the waters, and yet sinking, he cried out, Jesus lifted him up and encouraged him, said, do not doubt, have faith. So there was no way that Peter could have been lost, because he was among them that Jesus had kept in their hands, in his hands and in the hands of his Father. And today we see that the church of Jesus Christ is in the right hand of Jesus Christ through his seven stars, and nothing can pluck the church out of his hands. So though the gates of hell rose against Peter, but Jesus, the same way the gates of hell has risen against the church, but it was the church that Jesus built by himself. I will build my church through these lively stones, through these lively rocks. And he said, the gates of hell, though they may assail, but they will not prevail against it. So this is the confidence we have, that all of these experiences that God, Jesus Christ, was showing to Peter is a reflection of the experience that each and every one of us as a church, because we have this common salvation, as a church, we may have similar encounters. These encounters resonate with us. For we are the physical Peter, but we have a lively stone rock in the place of the church. And though hell may assail, one thing is certain, one thing is sure, the gates of hell shall not prevail. May the Lord bless you richly and keep us as the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that our experience with Him will increase and build our faith until we meet Him and we love His appearing. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Shalom.